Hi, you guys. This is Richard Sachs. This is Lost Arts Radio Live. Nice to see you again. This show is going to go by in about 10 seconds, I'm sure, because we've got a lot of interesting stuff to talk about. And I just want to introduce it by saying, I could say a lot, but I'm just going to mention that during the week, people have been talking to me feeling a little bit discouraged in some cases because of developments that are going on worldwide in what's clearly not a random chance situation, but it's a coordinated attack on humanity all over the world, not just in the U.S. where we're sitting here, but in pretty much every country other than those that are already totally subdued for the moment anyway. And people are wondering, you know, what can they do? And all of the programming that we've had for decades about how helpless we are is really, you know, they're banking on that being permanent. And one of the things that is being tried while this goes on by the major media is to stop the sharing of any real information. And it's gotten to the point where they'll censor the president, they'll censor former Speaker of the House, who was just on Fox trying to mention who was paying for the paid riots in the U.S. And they said, no, you can't talk about that. And he was saying, like, what? You know? And then they went on the major news after that and said, and just to let you know, we never censor anybody, just so that, you know, we'd all be fine again. So that's what's going on, and it's increasing. And some countries like Australia, the power structure there are kind of leading the way toward tyranny, figuring that it'll spread worldwide soon. But not everybody is just assuming that we're helpless. And one of our good friends, Peggy Hall, who started thehealthyamerican.org, is with us to talk about latest developments since we saw her last, which was a couple of months ago. And we're going to get in as much as we can pack in this 50 minutes or so. And I'm excited to see you here, Peggy. Thanks for coming. I know you're busy and appreciate it very much.
Well, so, Richard, you and I were, you were one of the first interviews I did after my video about there is no state of emergency. It's invalid, right, and unlawful. When that took off and you reached out to me, and it has been a few months now. I'm actually astonished that it has been this long and that people still are waking up. So I can't wait to dive in, because there have been some developments and I see some phases that we're in, and I want to see what you think about this and what we can do going forward.
Yeah, well, the way I like to start it, and we can do this in an abbreviated form because of the short time, but just wanting to reach the people that have no idea what we're talking about yet, not just the people who are already informed. And so in a minute or so, how did you go from not being involved in what you're doing now to deciding you had to and then starting it? And then we'll get into current developments.
Yeah, well, I have always been awake and aware. I've been a person that likes to dig deeper. I've never been one, when someone tells me to do something, I don't say, okay, I say, why? And I've been, and it's just part of my nature. So I have a nature of you know, I like to investigate, I like to dig deeper. I was actually a researcher. I've done a lot of writing for health magazines. I have a background in health. I have a background in education. I have a background in politics. You don't need those backgrounds to understand what's going on. I mention it just because it's my passion. But you're right, I was a little bit under the radar because I have been working for public universities and colleges and running a business where I was a, you know, the business, the face of the business. Right. And I admit, I wanted to welcome all and to not allow my views or my knowledge about the world and the direction it was heading. And I didn't want that to be the forefront. So even though my business was about positive encouragement and keeping your head above the waves and using positive action to overcome hardships and developing resiliency, these are all the skills that we're using now. But what happened, Richard, is I pivoted in terms of not being silent regarding my knowledge of the deeper destruction and the desire of the evildoers or evil itself to uproot good. So the short answer is that I decided I'm a teacher, I'm an educator, I'm going to share the results of my research regarding this non-pandemic and the fact that there is no lawful authority for what was going on. And I thought, see, that was my phase one. My phase one was, oh, awareness. Hey, this doesn't sound right. Phase two is, let's dig deeper and get some knowledge and then educate others, which I did at through the Healthy American website, going to the Board of Supervisor meetings, educating businesses, educating individuals. But when it came to the government, I realized they knew exactly what they were doing. They weren't ignorant of the law. They were intentionally deceiving us. So that shifted away from educating the lawbreakers, as I call them, like, hey, you are violating this law. Did you know? And they're like, oh, we don't care. So then it becomes the third phase is exposing them, exposing the evil doers as they are. And the fourth phase, as we've seen in other revolutions and upsets and revolts, it's not about talking and it's not about education. And many people will go this other path where it's the often the required mechanism for a rebirth. And that's stage five, which you and I have talked about, recreating new societies that are separate and apart from the desires of those who are perpetrating genocide. I mean, we literally are living under terrorism. And rather than... I think there are other remedies for that. So that's how I got started. And it's all hands on deck. I have people that are brand new that have said, gee, I'm starting to think something doesn't add up. And I have others that have been on the front lines, pioneers long before I was on the scene. And we join forces where we're the different ships sailing in the same flotilla toward freedom, truth. Those are my highest qualities, highest values that I seek to uphold. If you don't have truth, these other things can just crumble. So that's the story in a nutshell.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Did you hear that this week, I think it was this week, there was a federal judge in Pennsylvania that ruled that the governor couldn't, you know, override the Constitution, not just because, this is a really important point, not just because the death numbers are fake and low, but because it doesn't matter what the death numbers are. You can have a 99% death rate, and which, you know, something like that could be tried. Bill Gates has been on national TV threatening pandemic two and saying that that's coming and kind of indicating that he could make that a real one or a more dangerous one. And it doesn't matter as far as the principles that you're teaching, because in a free country, which America was theoretically set up to be, you choose freedom over security. You know, you still care about security, but you don't ask the government to do it all for you.
No, the government is not supposed to really protect us. It's supposed to defend us. And I don't even know if it's the government, but you're exactly right, Richard, which is why I never spoke that much about the science. This judge has it exactly right. Even if 99% of the people were dying, even if I were on my deathbed, I would never give over my freedom for safety. And there is no, it doesn't make sense to even, in my view, to even desire that, because what kind of life is worth living if you are living as a slave, imprisoned? And worse, in my view, I say worst because worst is worse than worst. Even worse is that these people are willingly enslaving themselves. I don't feel that the government is taking away our liberties. I'm seeing individuals giving them over, and in many cases, giving them over willingly. And I had a talk with my husband about that. He's a pastor, and he approaches life with a spiritual view of, which is great because he is, his view is an eternal view, and he sees everything that's going on. He says that he can, you know, this is what the Bible showed prophetically. But beyond that, this is not the only world that there is. Right. There is an expanded life beyond this. But those who don't have a sense of an afterlife or an eternal life or the eternal nature of the soul, their fear of dying, it grips them so desperately. And I would add to that, Richard, in the work that I've done with emotional support and emotional well-being, individuals of a certain age, let's say their 50s or 60s, you know, they've lived a large portion of their life, yet they haven't lived it the way they've wanted to. They've kept their dreams and their gifts and their talents on a box on the shelf. And at this point, the overwhelming fear that grips them is, I haven't lived my life fully. Now, I've been living my life the way I want to. In fact, it's strange that it's even expanded more in these troubling times. And I feel, I mean, I actually feel confident and bold and courageous because I don't have that fear that I haven't lived life. It's slipping through my fingers. Each day we're living. So I think, and I would love to explore this a little bit more with you and everyone listening, wherever you are on your knowledge of what's going on, you can fill in the blank with masks or vaccines or other medical interventions or, excuse me, Richard, you have two rooms and you're only one person. We're going to send someone else to live with you because it's the right thing to do. So fill in the blank, friends. It's not about the mask. But what I want to help encourage to awaken in others is they have this power. They can tap into that courage and they don't need to give themselves over to the fear and paranoia, which is paralyzing. That falls right into the enemy's hands, the evildoers, to keep the mind confused and engaged so that the clear thinking, and when I mean thinking, it's an intellect, it's even a soulful thinking. I mean, it's an intuitive thinking. That to me is the greatest harm, far more than the masks or you can't breathe or what have you. That individuals are willing to give over their very selves, their very souls to someone above them, a human being above them. And to me, I think that's the greatest sorrow. And that's where I really want to do the work.
It's kind of a theme of the rulers to see if they can get us to destroy ourselves so that they don't actually have to do it at all. It's just psychological, right? And maybe one of the best things that we could convey during this brief interview is that spirit that's been, to a large degree, lost, that was seen in, you know, you mentioned your husband being a pastor, and there are some brave pastors that were really a big part of the original spirit of the country. You know, not just saying, well, all this stuff about God, but we're not going to do anything in the physical world. You know, some of them did a sermon and then they ripped off their black robe and went out to defend the bridge in Lexington and Concord and places like that. And that spirit, if that comes back, none of this stuff can succeed against humanity. We have to feel like we're helpless for it to work.
You're absolutely right. And one of the ways to gain that courage, in my view, is to be with other individuals that can help support you. Mm-hmm. Part of the demonic approach here, and dark approach, was isolate everyone, separate each other. Right. I had to leave two jobs, which are now basically defunct, and I had well over maybe 150, upwards of 200 students a day that I would see. This is, for many people, their job is their social life, their social interaction. The students that I taught, they didn't come to see me per se. They came to see each other. It was their social interaction. And those things were far more important than the content I was teaching or the exercises that I was teaching. It was the interaction with humans, because that's how we are designed. And so to drive a wedge, not only with our ideology and political views and masks and no masks and all of that, but the simple fact of humans are dangerous and carry disease, and county after county delivering these unlawful orders that say, not only do you need to be separate, you may not even be with others outside of your household. If any thinking person can just for a moment rewind, like to last Christmas, and say, what would that, could you believe that the government would tell you you can't celebrate with your friends and loved ones? You would not believe that. You would think you were in, the most oppressive country on earth. And guess what?
Yeah, it's getting there, right? It's being done in different forms in different places, but it's not all in places like Australia and China and North Korea. I just heard this morning that in Arizona, where I'm sitting now, there are Indian reservations, which are kind of prisons for the Native Americans there that they were pushed into, the ones that weren't murdered. And they're being told on this one reservation, in southern Arizona that they can't go out of their house to see the neighbors, and they can't, there's a lot of other rules, like no food sales on the reservation. You can't grow any food. That would be way dangerous. And there's this whole, it reminds me of what the Michigan governor said, that you can't buy garden seeds because, you know, that there could be a germ on the seeds. You never know. It would be really dangerous. And there's all these other rules that are being put into place. So the, you know, the people living on the reservation basically aren't allowed to do anything except sit in their house. And that's already in America.
It's destructive not only for the individual in terms of their social interaction, their intellectual development, their just engaging in life, but it creates an atmosphere of despair. And despair is the, like, breaking your spirit. We have that expression, you know, like, oh, my, they're trying to break their spirit, break their resolve. And right. When you're on your own, even if it's with members of your household, but you're separate from the community at large, it is very challenging to rally that courage and enthusiasm and verve and conviction. So my whole approach at the Healthy American, I have three simple tenets, and the number one is connection. Mm-hmm. It's like every tool that the evildoers imposed, I'm going to do the exact opposite. So isolation and separation, and humans are diseased and they're not to be trusted, and right. they're dangerous, and don't hug them. We need to do the opposite. Get to, I just came from a rally with hundreds of people, you know, hugging, no masks or masks.
But most people think you could never do that now, and you'd immediately be carried off to prison. So how do you do that?
You do it. You simply okay. do it. And right. that also plays into fear. The intimidation, and I hear this time and time again from the businesses, and I work with businesses to educate and encourage and empower them to stay open legally and lawfully, because there is no law in any state. There's no statutory law. There's no legislative law that says you must require your patrons to wear a mask. You have to serve your food outside. You can only have 10 people in your gym. These right. are strong arm right. techniques. And I understand, I am a business owner, and I understand the fear of, I don't want to lose this. I don't want to be on the blacklist. Even if they can't pull my license, I don't want someone breathing down my neck and looking under every nook and cranny. But right. Richard, what history shows us is this compliance, not only does it extend the onerous, nonsensical burdens that have been imposed upon us, but even worse, again, if the business owners stood up in the beginning, never closed their businesses, yeah. took the consequences, which might have been handcuffed mm-hmm. to prison, mm-hmm. I'm willing to do that. If they, here's the problem, those who comply, when we look at history, and I think of Romania in particular because I read an amazing book about a pastor who lived under both Nazis and communists. And this is what he said, Richard Wurmbrand. And he said, and he died on some, you know, in our lifetime recently. Yeah. And he said, when the communists came, they actually wished they lived under Nazis again.
Wow, that's interesting.
Communism was so oppressive, so brutal, so dehumanizing,
yeah,
so unbelievably inhumane that they wished for the days of yore under Nazis. It was like, oh, the Nazis prepared us for the communists. But what I want to say is this. When the Nazis came, many business owners wanted to comply. They didn't want to rock the boat. They didn't want to be hauled off by the Nazis. So
most people want to be nice.
They want to be nice. They went around. They went along with it. In their heart, they said, well, I don't really believe in Nazism, but I'm going to go along with it. I don't want to lose my job. I need to put food on the table. Teachers would teach what the Nazis required because they didn't want to lose their job. The pastors, this is where my interest is.
Yeah.
The pastors had to submit their sermons and have them approved by the government. Wow. Now, interestingly, right, they closed the churches in the United States of America. The Nazis left the churches open. Okay, the Nazis did not close the churches, but the very pastors who complied, who only delivered sermons that were approved, kind of like the churches here that closed or are holding services outside. Well, here's what history shows. The very pastors, the very business owners, the very teachers who complied with the Nazis, when the new regime came in, when the communists came in, these were the first individuals who were exterminated. Right. The ones who complied, because the communists identified them as easy pickings, that they were willy-nilly. They were going to
more efficient,
you know, go with the wind. Whereas we patriots, the healthy Americans, those that are standing up and saying we are not going to take this, we're a tougher nut to crack.
Yeah.
We're not the easy fruit to pick. So those who think, I'm just going to wait this out a little bit longer. Here in California, they were having the gyms operate outside in 100 degree weather, wearing masks, when 100 feet Amazing. Away, there was an air conditioned gym.
Right. And I'm sure if they died of a heart attack from that, it would be COVID-19.
That's right. And the government would say that it's safer for them to exercise on asphalt in a dirty parking lot with cars whizzing by rather than in a safe, protected. Now, here's the thing. The gym owners who are like, hey, we're doing what you asked. Stop breathing down our neck. I have empathy for their decision. Sure. My decision would have been different. You want a part of this? This is my gym. Show me the law.
Wasn't there a gym in New Jersey that broke down the barriers and they invited everybody in? Yeah.
And that's right. And that is what it takes, Richard. It takes people to stand up, to simply not comply. And the thing, we're not under Nazism. And the thing is, there aren't laws that will prevent you from doing that. And even if there were, that's called civil disobedience. And as far as I've seen, I personally have not seen any violence in terms of law enforcement. I've seen some fist fights and scuffles and people being physically carried out. It's atrocious. I couldn't sleep last night seeing an individual being hauled off by two cops because he was sitting in a library without a mask on at a public meeting. This should not stand. So I applaud him, and it's going to take hundreds, thousands, millions of us to do that, to actually have a visible defiance, and then the next step will be revealed. We don't know what the next step is.
Exactly. One of the things about you comparing Nazism and communism, which is really interesting, I think, people, you know, are all these people that are crazy mobs in the street, a lot of them protesting against Nazism. The Nazis were socialists, and the communists were communists, and communism is a more advanced form of socialism. And the socialism was, you know, what the fascists really were, the National Socialist Party. And people get confused about this stuff, but it's all brands of tyranny versus freedom. It's really simple. It doesn't matter if it's Nazis or communists or socialists or whatever you want to call it. It always makes believe that they're doing everything for you. And that's why they have to control your entire life.
Well, it puts me in mind, Richard. Think back and for our viewers as well, think back to perhaps an unsettling time when you found out that someone you loved or you they loved you, but they betrayed you, or maybe a business partner that you trusted, you know, stole from you, or it was a wrong dealing and somehow you were disappointed or betrayed, or you were lied to maybe by a boss or a coworker. People that actually know you, even family members, extended, that even love you, that you've had friction and dissent and perhaps even a broken relationship, people that actually know you, why in the world would you think that this government that doesn't even know you would have your best interests at heart when someone that you were a business partner with betrayed you, a friend or a loved one, maybe you were divorced? Think of people that were in your life, because we're human. Right. We have these faults and flaws. The government is no different. They are not above you. They are not better than you. They are not flawless. And they certainly don't have your best interests at heart. They have their own interests at heart. And not even their own. Many of these government placeholders, as I call them, are actually puppets for the puppet masters. They may be deluded. We've talked about this, Richard, and it's such an important message to get out. These individuals likely didn't grow up and they weren't 13-year-olds saying, I can't wait to get into politics and ruin other people's lives. I don't think that happened. Right. I think it's over time the influence of evil seeped in, and you know, pride and avarice and all of these other conditions and behaviors that can then manipulate and destroy what was, you know, a beautiful soul that may have had skills and gifts and talents that right. now has been manipulated and just influenced. And we need to realize that these evildoers are also under the influence of evil. And Richard, that's what I really want to explore more. We can talk about all the political, you know, sign a petition. That's actually not the root of the problem. Those are good actions.
You want to talk about the structure of where it's all coming from?
I'm ready to die. Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, it's a very complex, subtle structure that's put together. It's pyramid-shaped, if you want a business model. At the top, there's very, very few. And, you know, I don't know whether I should say or not, but, you know, because some of the people might think I'm completely out to lunch, but at the very top levels, it's not human. And that's a long subject, and it's not a belief system or some special religion or something. It's just what's happening. And at the human level, there's very small numbers at the top that are totally given over to it. And at that level, it's not about money or power. It's about Satanism, which is not a religion. It's an actual spirit of darkness that is basically deceived itself. And any level of it is subject to being waked up. It's not intrinsically evil, but it's so far gone that, you know, its intent is pain and destruction and death and suffering for its own sake and no other reason. But it has weak spots. So even at the upper levels, it's not invulnerable. And then below that, there's all these levels as the pyramid gets wider. And at the bottom level, they think they're serving their country. And they're doing the bidding of all these giant, you know, faceless corporations, where they have fake faces on them, smiling and telling you they're really nice. And they don't really realize they're working for evil, most of them. I'd say the vast majority think they're doing good. Like the people who have been trained in public health, I mean, I'm directly involved in the system that watching them be trained. And science used to be question everything and check whether it's true, because there's no ego in it. You just want to know what's true. Now they've completely converted science into memorize what's acceptable and force other people to believe it and do it. That's public health. And they decided that was a perfect way to enforce this kind of nonsense. Because even the people in government now, most of them, are afraid of the health system. And they feel subservient to it. And on behalf of their countries, they've signed up as members of the WHO. And the bylaws say that they've agreed to, on behalf of us, that if they just declare a pandemic, like declaring an emergency, but it's a pandemic, then they take over your country. And you have to do what they say. So that's what they're trying to complete right now on this stage anyway. And I think what you're saying is, you know, and I don't want to hog the discussion at all. I'm sorry to do that. But what was so incredible about this, the beginning of the United States, with all the flaws, those are just in the area of not living up to it. But the ideal was that the government only exists with the permission of the people and only for the purpose of protecting their individual rights, not the community as a whole, at the sacrifice of individuals, but individuals. And yeah, they do protect the border because you need armies to do that, things like that. That's very important. But they don't take your rights away. They just stop you from activities that would trespass on the rights of each other. You know, like you don't have a biological weapons company like we have all over the U.S. and most of the world right now, because that's taking away the rights of other people. But a normal company, like a small business, that's not deceiving and killing people on purpose, that's protected. And they don't take all their money in taxes and, keep the government as small as possible to do its job. Anyway, I'm only mentioning that much of it because if we know where it's coming from, it gives us more potential insight into what to do. And I think what you're doing fits exactly into that, as far as I can see.
Yeah, Richard, these points that you make are so important to have this deeper knowledge. It's really the foundation. And I think it will help people be less frustrated when they understand. I will describe it, and many have, as a spiritual battle. So when you speak of the powers that are non-human, what was really interesting what you said, and I think we need to amplify this point, It's not inherently evil.
No, it's all deception.
And that is the nature of evil. That's one of the things. Is
and
deception.
And there's no point of arrogance because any of us could fall into it easily.
It's yes, and we do. And you've mentioned before that there's influence to be influenced by this, and then to be possessed by that, which is a little bit deeper. But to remember that, because what has happened also is the resignation of individuals who say, who do have this knowledge to a certain degree, and they'll say, well, it's the New World Order, or fill in the blank with the names of the power structure, the top of the pyramid. You can't fight against that. They have all the money. But look at the pyramid. They're the smallest, fewest number. And yes, they may have the technology, the money, and so forth, but we have the numbers. And beyond that, we have the good.
That's right.
You only fight evil with good. You cannot fight evil with evil. And when people are complaining and despairing and dividing and fighting, I remind them, this is food for the enemy. You are feeding the enemy. This is exactly what they want. You have so many, I heard of an analogy, like your life is like a bag of rice, and each grain of rice is a unit of energy or attention. And look at all, you just cut a hole in that bag of rice, and you are letting all the rice run to evil. You've only got this much energy, time, resources, in this earthly realm left. Why in the world would I pour out my grains of life in this manner? And I understand, I have my rants, I have my low times, we all do. It's understandable. But when you realize it actually is going to, it's the opposite, it's not the remedy that you're seeking. And this is where getting back in connection, community, supporting each other, it may be prayer, meditation, just working a garden side by side. I mean, these things are what the soul of humanity, this is what we crave. And this to me is the antidote. Acknowledging the facts, as painful as they may be, because we are in, I believe there's a great deal of grieving going on right now. And when people have suffered a loss, and this is beyond, I've had many losses, but nothing has affected me like this, which is what really prompted me to do the work. This, one of the first reactions to grief is, I don't believe it. And people don't. I can't believe that. Oh, the government would never do that.
I know.
Oh, this you're just, it's a fairy tale. Well, that's denial. And how do we know it's denial? Because there are irrefutable facts. And facts are different than emotion. Right. The emotion is, oh, that can't be. But the fact is, look at here, and look around, and look at the information, and look at the data, and look at the physical evidence. In order to grieve, Richard, we need support. You need the shoulder to cry on. You need someone to say, this is outrageous. You're going to be angry. I mean, I was throwing pillows, and you need to express the anger appropriately. The sadness is expressed through tears. I don't think I've seen many people crying. They're stuck in the denial. You need to get into those emotions, feel them, release them, express them, because what comes next is beautiful. It's understanding, and then it's application of the knowledge you've gained. So look what we've, I can't believe how much I've learned in 5 or 6 months.
Yeah.
Now let's use this going forward. For me, that is the only path that I personally have experienced with grief, is because you don't get over it, but you integrate it and you apply it, and you are richer. Your heart has expanded. Assist and shine that. You know, people will say, "Gosh, Peggy, you're a light in the darkness. You're so optimistic," because I've had so much loss in my life. I have all this that I want to share because I didn't withdraw within.
Right.
Those are two choices.
No, if you suppress emotion, it becomes a block to everything. But then you can relax if you don't, and then you can go on to the next step, right? Because the side of light is so much infinitely stronger than the darkness. And in fact, the darkness is just temporarily hidden light anyway. There's only light in existence. The other is illusion. So,
wow.
But it's a really powerful illusion. It seems real. And their whole thing is to make it keep seeming real, but it isn't. So what we're not supposed to look at is what would be the possibility of fighting, not really fighting, but the power of waking everybody up on the light side, where you don't use the tools of darkness. And we're not even supposed to consider that. So that's guidance that we're supposed to, right?
Well, you're exactly right. And again, sharing the Christian perspective, it's in the Bible again and again and again. Do not have anything to do with the deeds of darkness, but rather reprove them, expose them, which is what you've been doing. I've been doing a little more kind of nuts and bolts, but I'm at the point, I've been plucking the leaves off the tree of evil, is the way I put it. Like, oh, here's how to shop without a mask, and you know, helping people get through the daily activities, which also helps to lift out of despair. But actually, the root of this evil is deeper. And people, I think it's time now. The months have gone by. This information needs to be out there. They need to understand that the division, fist fights on Facebook, mm-hmm. in a manner of speaking, it feeds the evil. It feeds the darkness, the ridicule of the ignorant. And trust me, I have my rants. I hope I never ridicule anyone. I do call them out, but we need to have that where we release the emotions appropriately so that we can focus on actually bringing those people on board. Bringing them on board. They're not to see them as the enemy, but to see the enemy as above them, influencing them.
Yeah.
And Richard, you helped me quite a bit with this outlook. And I knew that, but you gave me some of the language to express it, because this is what we need to do on a larger scale.
Well, if you don't, I mean, you're mentioning the Christian perspective. If you take a quote like "love your enemy," that becomes just kind of a meaningless slogan unless you learn how to do it. And if you think they're really your enemy and it's not just a superficial thing, then I don't think you can honestly do it. But if you realize that there's something else inside them and you're loving that and you're seeing the other as just a bad mask, not only are we susceptible to fall into darkness if we're not awake, but they're susceptible to fall into light. And that's totally in our hands. Even the ones that look really intimidating, they're just like, you know, they only look that way. It's like a facade, and underneath they're just little kids, you know, that learned how to put on a really bad tantrum.
Yeah.
I respect what they can do, and you don't want to charge into them when you're not up to it. But if you really dig into the light in yourself, the farther you get with that internally, the stronger you are for the external beings that you have to deal with.
Amen. Absolutely. And these individuals, there's so much pain often that is driving pain and fear, which again, those are heavier emotions. They're just, they're, even when we think of light, like bright light, there's also lightheartedness. There's lighthearted energy. There's heavy, dark. And this is where I feel so many individuals are just walking around with the weight of the world in despair, shoulders slumped, head
punched. And they don't, they think it's required. They don't think, they don't realize it's optional. Right? Every state, emotional state like that, is our choice. And we're supposed to think that we have no responsibility. We're not doing it. If this happens, this is how you have to feel. That's one of those laws that you talk about that doesn't exist. No, you don't. You can have something terrible happen, and you just note that it's terrible, file it for information to respond to it, and then decide where you're going to come from.
That's right. You're absolutely right. And there may be times when you choose to feel sad. You choose to feel the loss. You choose to feel exasperated. But they are choices. And it may be a valid choice for you.
Go through the feeling. Right?
Yeah, my dog dies. I don't want to feel happy about that. I do want, when time comes, I do want to feel the love and the joy and remember that. But they're choices. And in this, I just call it chaos that we've been living in, it's difficult to remember that because it's so overwhelming, in the sense that it is all encompassing. If I were to lose a job, well, that's kind of compartmentalized. I lost my job, but it's not like the whole world lost the job. And, you know, I might have a little money tucked away so I can still put gas in my car and pay my rent. But when something is so all encompassing on the individual's lives, we really need to support each other with this kind of teaching, with the shoulder to cry on. Not everyone has as an evolved perspective. Richard, I really appreciate your ability to lead us and to teach us in these ways. Even your whole demeanor is healing and calming and all of that. People are living in a frenzy. They're living on adrenaline. They're living in fear. Fear is run by adrenaline and cortisol. Cortisol is, both of those chemicals are the most damaging to your immune system.
Yeah, so, your whole body, they burn you out.
I would like to talk even in a few minutes just about some simple self-care, kind of like putting gas in the tank so that you're ready to have you can develop the emotional wherewithal to weather some of these storms and then be emotionally mature enough and resilient enough to hear these truths and facts about what is going on, what really is going on. But when you're fatigued, and I can speak for myself, burning the midnight oil, it actually doesn't serve you when you're addicted to the television and calling your friends just to see who can out-complain another. It may feel like it's an action. It may feel like you're getting it off your chest. And maybe in small doses, it's beneficial for you. But to ask yourself, what am I thinking? What am I feeling? And why? Why am I feeling this? What am I thinking? Why am I choosing those thoughts? Why am I treating myself this way? What am I eating and why am I eating it, right? What am I watching and why am I? I ask myself this on an ongoing basis. What am I doing and why am I doing it? I mean, if I pick something up, what am I doing? Is this what needs to be done now? Or it's a type of practice, but I would love to talk a little bit about some nuts and bolts of self-care. They've taken away, at least in California, your ability to get your hair done.
Unless you're the mayor of certain cities, you can do
that. That's right. Get your massage, go to the gym, have your exercise, go to the library, go to the movie theater, you know, go to the parks, whatever your favorite enjoyment may be. Yet the bars, the abortion clinics are open. The churches and the libraries are closed. Right. Any thinking person who's not in the grips of the despair and the heavy darkness will scratch their head and say, that doesn't make sense to me.
What a strange coincidence, right? And you're talking about self-care. You know, people think, well, when things get better, I'll take care of myself. And it's like, when things are better, it's not as urgent. You know, when things are hard, the harder they are, the more urgent it is to take care of yourself in everything you do. So, and then you feel different because, like you were saying about adrenaline and cortisol applies to all the different chemical balances in the blood and the hormones and things like that. How the condition of your body affects your emotions. So even if things are really bad, if you kind of focus in on taking care of your body, how do I feel physically? How can I fix that and make it better? I mean, if you can't go to the gym, which I wouldn't go anyway, if you have to wear a mask and look through plastic, it's really not a good idea. Then if you have, you know, 20 square feet in your room, do squats and push-ups and sit-ups or whatever you can do. And immediately, you know, one of the scientists that I saw on YouTube recently, I don't remember the lady's name, she said muscle is the organ of longevity. But more importantly than that, it's an endocrine organ. It's not an endocrine gland. But the trainers who really get into this know that if you do squats, for example, and that can be body weight squats, and you go, you know, carefully. You don't do it if you're, you know, if you haven't been off the couch for 20 years. You do a version where you put your hand on the armrest to help yourself and you kind of stand up at your own speed and then you sit down again. And that's the squats that you do. But as soon as the muscles contract, you're releasing hormones into the blood, that like endorphins, and they change your whole mental outlook. Nothing changed in the world. But you changed how you feel completely with a few squats. And this is a real phenomenon, and that's super valuable because people are waiting to feel better until things get better in the world. Totally unnecessary. And everybody is not insignificant. Everybody's a superhero, you know, dormant inside whatever shell we've artificially created. And those have to wake up, and that's the biggest fear of the power structure.
Which is why they keep us busy and distracted, hooked on you know, TV. Everybody stay home, don't go outside, but we'll be feeding you these messages. And then the highway signs, which we were able to get down. That was part of our Healthy American Action. They're gone. They're gone. Even if they're still there, let me know and I'll give you the letters. But they are gone coast to coast.
We have them in Arizona.
You
they
still
say,
do?
If you if you're in danger of approaching any other person, immediately put a mask on.
Oh, it's just, it's yeah. Ridiculous.
They're so dangerous.
But even if this persists, Richard, being awake, we can have those superpowers by deflecting it. Like, okay, yeah. I see it, but I don't receive it. And that's different than acknowledging, noticing, and letting it go. In fact, maybe even sometimes I will be like more, I'll turn up my powers of resilience knowing, okay, I've got to go to the grocery store or this situation is coming up. So I'm going to acknowledge that and not just have my protective coating.
So it
doesn't get in.
Well, what you're calling superpowers
that
everybody has are actually just forgotten normal abilities.
That's right.
That just could, you know, they're no big deal. Right now we're supposed to think they're impossible and imaginary and terrifying and everything. But even if they follow this with a pandemic that's actually killing a lot of people, either we're going to die, which is fine because we just get a chance in a new environment, or we can use natural healing knowledge to resist it and not be affected. And that's why that's kept secret. Because that just, you know, overruns any kind of concern about so-called germs. They don't affect you the same way if you keep yourself in good shape. In fact, the real microorganisms are there in harmony with nature to keep you healthy. And the ones they make in a lab, like this one, even though it's not as dangerous as they said, those have different qualities, but nature is still, you know, in charge. So we just learn more about what to do and they bounce off, and it's not really imaginary.
Yeah, that's such a good reminder. So what are, so we can take care of ourselves, good food, good sleep, good thoughts, exercise, and good breathing and
sleep.
Sleep, and then you've got to do things that you enjoy. There's
right.
always another way. You mentioned you don't need to go to the gym. You set it up at home. Why
sure.
not just clear out your garage, have some buddies over. They can each give you $10, you know, whatever. Now you can cover the bottles of water, whatever you need.
Right.
You, you've
right.
got your own gym and a garage. I am looking forward to that day where we don't pay a gym membership. You know, we're, you'll do the exercises. Someone else will bring you their eggs from the chicken, and somebody else will fix the car. And this guy here will do the security. That's how our country, you spoke about our country being founded. They were fine. They actually wanted to keep in their own independent colonies, as I recall. They were like, been there, done that. We're fine. Just let us operate as we are. But I guess the common defense is a good idea, and we need to have some
defending transport. The border, defending against insurrections, all the things they're not doing now that they should.
That's right.
You know, those were the justification. And I think that's still reasonable. But yeah, if people want to exercise at home, one thing that YouTube and other social media does not censor and doesn't feel like it's a threat is exercise videos. And you can learn yoga like you've been involved in. And what they call calisthenics now, that used to be really simple, is very advanced. And there are beginner versions and everything. No money required. Just a screen or hook it to your TV or something, and you can have a world-class trainer. It's really pretty exciting.
It is. You just gave me an idea. You could have like the Patriot workout, so you won't be doxed.
You should start
by,
that right away.
YouTube, you're doing exercise, and the whole time you're speaking about freedom. And
right, yeah, you exercise hard enough, and they may not notice what you're saying.
That's right. I love it.
Yeah, that's neat. Hopefully, you'll have that going in a week or so.
Oh, I probably will. Well,
in your spare time.
We are going to be doing something, Richard. I hope you'll participate in this one. We are going to have a Healthy American Emotional Support Network, Emotional Support Team.
And, okay.
And what I'm going to do, I have a couple of key individuals I would love to have available, because I get so many hurting people that are coming to me, not so much because they want to shop without a mask. That may be the reason they're emailing, but beneath it, they are feeling overwhelmed. They're feeling at their wit's end. Mm-hmm. And I counsel some of the people, my husband counsels some of them, but the numbers are just exploding. And so I would like to have this, really just a network where people can click to connect with someone like you that is able to offer some moral support, some soulful care, some encouragement in the right direction, because this to me is the key to our moving ahead. And as we've talked about, you know, drowning out that darkness, but the individuals need the support. They need the tools. They need the little urging, you know, out of the nest, and you can do it. And here are some tips to make you feel better. I know you're feeling despairing. There is light at the end of the tunnel. You are the light, and here's how to do it. So I am putting together, and you would be just perfect person for it, you know, half a dozen people that I trust and know, so that our network, and this is what I'm talking about, actually creating networks of people. We don't have to go get an insurance paid counseling session. This is this is people helping people. We're going to have a legal network for those who have gotten fired and they're trying to seek remedies. There are legal experts who are willing to step up and just offer a letter on letterhead, you know, at no charge, just to get them up and running. We're going to have a homeschool network where I'm not going to be running the schools, but I will have a network of homeschool experts that people who come to me, I can hook them up with and say, they'll help you get started. They have the idea. So it'll be all of these networks that then will go down to the most local level. And I do want to share one other thing along those lines. The technology is not going to last the way we know it, in my view. It may be completely different, but I don't know that we'll be having these chats a year from now. I hope we do. But my goal is to be the matchmaker, the conduit, to have people connect locally, take those relationships off line. So mm-hmm. now you're not doing the Zoom classroom with your kids. You've got the one room schoolhouse
yeah.
in your community that doesn't require computer and Zoom and all those kinds of technology. It literally is back to communities face to face. Richard, we're doing this in every county in the United States. We're going to do the math.
All these different categories that you're talking about?
It may be that way. We are going to have, and again, we're using Meetup as a...
You're
as
talking right now the homeschool idea, right?
I'm talking everything.
All this stuff.
Okay. All of these things. The hub will be the Healthy American Legal Network, Healthy American Homeschooling, Healthy mm-hmm. American Emotional Support. So they can just come to thehealthyamerican.org. We want everyone to get the support they need, because it's now I'm in this new phase. Yes, we need the laws and all, but they don't care. They don't care that they're breaking the law.
Right.
We need to shift now to help each other figure out how to move ahead. Forget the law. Forget the courts. Forget the
Well, you know, the country was founded on the premise of natural law.
Yes.
Meaning that your rights exist whether there's a government or not. And no law that the government makes can overrule natural law.
And we need to get back to that. It has been another layer that's been, there's been a lot of obfuscation because they don't want us to know about that. So I say, you know, at a certain point, for those who are able, not everyone can right now,
yeah.
but those who are ready to learn or listen or explore these different ways of living that I'm thrilled. I think it can be better communities, better societies,
right.
free from this overgrowth. It's literally like pulling the weeds out of the garden. We've got to plant new seeds. And that's why I say all hands on deck.
So you want to get as much of this organizing work done, which is really what you're doing, while the technology still is available.
Yes.
Right? And so since you don't know how long that is, you really want to use your time well.
And through the grace of God, he has brought me people like you, and I've got a couple other professionals that just out of the blue today, someone emailed, or I had a phone call with someone, and he said, you know, this is what I do. I've got the servers, and I create these communication programs. I'm like, okay, let's do it. So
yeah.
we, with the ultimate goal of you connect with people, and then you take it offline. You start creating your communities.
Right.
You know, hey, I'm a vet. I do house calls. You know, here's the dentist. You know, the holistic. Like, I don't want to go to a hospital. I have no desire ever to go to conventional medicine again. Forget all of these things they're going to require. The
right.
testing and the all of this. We need to have new plans in place, friends. And time is running out. We need to do it now. We need to start thinking about that. So those of you that have right. these skills, that are interested in connecting, it's very simple. Thehealthyamerican.org. And there are, you know, we're collaborating with many groups. I just want to be the hub, the connector, and then, you know, go forth and enjoy, and you figure it out on your own. I'm just going to put you together with people in your county, in your community, and then...
Right. Well, if you've got that vision and the ability to organize it, really, that's all you need, because you're making yourself obsolete at as many levels as possible, right? So people can just continue it.
That's right.
Even if they are cut off, it doesn't matter.
And Richard, that's the beauty of it. I don't want a type of government or new society that is top down. It is from the bottom up. That's how
yeah.
it's designed. You figure out what works for you, and it's going to be different than what works for you, and you
sure.
may want to do it this way, and that's the beauty. That's what enriches our life and our society. That's how we learn and grow. And I'm strangely optimistic about all of this. I don't know if maybe I need a dose of reality, but I actually am optimistic about what can be. And I want others to share that outlook, because it is uplifted. It is lighthearted in our emotions, as well as, you know, the spiritual light that we've talked about. That is amplified when we're feeling better when we're feeling powerful, when we're feeling grounded and open. Then the light comes. When we're heavy, complaining, there's no use, I've tried it, I couldn't do it. And again, these are normal and understandable states of mind, but you acknowledge it, and like, how, you know, what can I do now? Where there's always another way, and I'm going to find it. There's always another way.
Yeah, I think that's super important. And, you know, this is obviously something that should be talked about more than just for a few minutes. So if it's of use to you and you want to come back again next week at the same time, we can use this platform and get into the details of your organizing project and all the different parts of it. You know, because you talked about homeschooling or one room community homeschooling as an option, because that allows people to work. That in itself is a huge, important topic. I mean, to get back to these decentralized structures, that is national security for every country in the world if they do it.
And to me, Richard, this is actually the only true remedy in our kind of nuts and bolts practical stuff. I just don't see really redeeming, I just see that we are going back and going to a different way, living outside of these structures that have been put upon us. I like how you said it, the decentralization, and that's exactly what we need. And I do, you know, as an educator for all these years, I live in California. I would never recommend a parent send a child to school in California, regardless of the masks. And really, it's probably that way in most
states. It's getting that way in other places, too.
Yeah, the curriculum is one of exactly what you don't want, which is an indoctrination to the state. And the beautiful thing is, I'm going to do a seminar on this as well, kind of the one room schoolhouse. And it really is a model that is so exciting and so beneficial. Mm-hmm. It accelerates the individual's ability to learn because it's a self-directed learning. You don't need to know anything about being a teacher. All you need to know is about living in life. And I will have about 6 or 10, maybe 12 examples of lessons that anyone can do without any curriculum, without any computer, without any textbook. You can do it with a 5-year-old and a 15-year-old at the same time. In fact, it's better to do it that way. Five kids, 15 kids. You only need to devote one day a week, because you'll be in this community where the others will do the other days a week. School for kids is not supposed to be 7 to 2. It's supposed to be a couple of hours, not even supposed to be. So much can be learned in a few hours a day. Mm-hmm. And the children and the students are going to be thrilled. They'll never stop learning. Like what you and I do, Richard, would you ever call what you and I do work? I don't ever feel like I'm...
It's a totally different definition of work.
Yeah.
It's like what you would want to do for fun.
That's right. And this is what so in that vein of what I do, it's just how I live.
Yeah.
I live by researching and teaching and sharing and speaking. That's just my life.
Working 16 hours a day like that is like being on vacation all the time.
Yeah. My husband says you're just being you. You're working at a job. This is the same thing for the students or the children.
That's what I want you to be able to show to other adults too, because most of the people in the country, even back when they had jobs, most of them hated their jobs. They were only there to survive, and they weren't interested. So we need to, talking about new models for a better, healthy society, people need to really be enjoying their work. So they're just really anxious to go to work because even without the money, they would do it.
And it may be that they will be doing it without the money, because we may have a system where it's not based on the way that we've known, and that's okay. I mean, we've already had a resurgence of that, I think, in years past, of, you know, bartering and trade society and gig society.
Well, the only reason money started was that if the guy with the chickens doesn't really need a new car in exchange for the chickens, you've got an intermediary thing that represents both, and that was gold and silver, copper in some places, and other things like that. And until it started being, you know, fraudulently used, it was a really good system of convenience. It could come back.
Yeah.
You know, before that, they just had barter, and it was just not real convenient.
Well, I like that. The getting back to something that was the way we started.
Yeah. Makes with sense. A little bit more appreciation this time.
Oh, that's the hidden gift. There's always something that good that there's always something good that you can find that comes from these. I call them stormy seas, and it may not be apparent, which is why it's like a buried treasure, right? You have to look
exactly.
For it.
But time is relative, and we just had a bumpy several thousand years, you know, and now it can ease up again.
I love it. One
thing you could do is just summarize the things that you guys are offering now that people can be involved in.
Yeah, the most important thing is to hop on board at thehealthyamerican.org. If you sign up for the newsletter, it's the way that I send out more information than what's just on the website. Some people have told me they've had difficulty signing up. If you do, just drop me an email. You can email me through the website. I'll get you set up.
Okay.
So, and the reason I want you to do that is because I've got three very important things that I think you'll like. Number one are our local community groups. We have the mechanism. Mm-hmm. I've had a team of amazing volunteers and healthy Americans literally put in place a meetup group for every county in the United States. There's 3,133 counties in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
You will be able to go directly to your state, and you can go to any county in your state, hop on board, meet other people. This is going to empower you. It is going to uplift you, and it will be that groundwork for that decentralization of our society.
So how are they going to meet? Are they going to meet online or in person or both?
They're going to meet online at first, and there is a small investment because we are charged for the platform.
Sure.
So those, you can come on for the first couple of weeks. That the platform itself gives you a free trial, and then for 14 days, we are asking for a $7 monthly support on that to help us pay for the platform. And for those individuals that are in the meetup groups, I'm also going to be offering additional educational seminars that are not on YouTube or Facebook. These are in-depth, you know, dig in, high value stuff. So, and those who can't afford it, we have a helping hand. But that will also keep out the riffraff in a manner of speaking. We need to focus on those that really are not going to sabotage our efforts. And hopefully over time, we will be a good example and they'll say, hey, I like that. I think I want to go over there, but we don't want them coming in to poke holes in the ship. So that's a couple of hoops. The second thing, Richard, so that will be you meet online so that you can exchange phone numbers and emails. Mm-hmm. It's not Facebook. This is not open to the public. This is a private group that you have signed up for. You're welcome to stay in this group as long as you like, as long as the platform is up. But I would like you to be prepared. My goal is to have you take those relationships offline so that every Thursday you get together for a meal together. And on Sundays, you go for a walk and maybe worship. And on Tuesdays, you've got coffee in the afternoon. It's to actually start to rebuild those. In person, you decide who has what skills, where you might expand.
Mm-hmm.
The sky's the limit. You decide how that's going to look.
Is that available to sign up for now?
It will. It's going to launch on Monday. So Monday, September, whatever September Monday is.
the 22nd. 21.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's right around the corner. We've been working on it for many weeks, maybe even months. So that's huge because now you actually are like an official member of the Healthy American groups so that we can communicate more easily. It's not dependent on Facebook or YouTube and all those other channels that may go down. This channel, that meetup group channel may go down, but it's a mechanism to share your information confidentially. With confidence and to know that you're going to start creating new friendships, new communities. I'm thrilled. I am going to do the Healthy American road trip and I want to go meet all these people.
Yeah,
imagine going to every county in the United States. That would be incredible.
Make sure to plan about 20 years to do that.
I know. I'm ready to go. The second thing, Richard, is very important for those who ask, do I need a lawyer? Can I file a lawsuit? There's a better way. You don't need to file a lawsuit. You don't need to have an attorney. We are creating, and this will be up in a week or so, the Healthy American Legal Network, where attorneys in every state are going to offer to help you by writing a letter that you can, on their letterhead, that you can send to your child's school, to your dentist, to your gym, to your clinic, because these are the to your employer that will clearly state the it's like a demand letter. You need to show your insurance that you are liable for these things that you're requiring. Do you have a medical license if you're requiring a test? Right. This has to be ordered by a doctor. You just can't have your employer give you a COVID test. There has to be a doctor's order for that test.
They're actually passing laws. I think they're laws. I'm not sure. They could be regulations.
Yeah.
That anybody can administer, even vaccines.
So we need to cut that off at the pass here, and because this won't stand. But in the meantime, we need to address that. But the long term is where we have these new communities where no tests are required.
Right.
And I want to give another example of that, Richard, if I may, and then I'll talk about the third point.
Sure.
Let me give you an example of the new community. This to me is just, it's so heartwarming. It takes a heart-wrenching story and it becomes a heartwarming story. One of the people that I counseled, actually two people, it was like a match made in heaven. One individual worked for a nursing home in a small town, 2,300 people. And she said, I can no longer go there because of these dark forces. I feel heaviness in my soul. I feel evil. I don't like the way that the residents of the home are being treated, you know, nursing home patients. I've tried to talk to my supervisor. They're unmoving on the mask. They want the temperature and all this other stuff. And she said, I actually don't care. I need to pay my rent, but I would rather be homeless than to continue to work in this area. And I have to get a different situation because there's no other place to work in a town of 2,000 people.
Right.
And then, so I was talking to the individual about some options, and it put me in mind of a previous call that I had of a woman who said, my mother's in a nursing home and they won't let me see her. I can't hug her. They're making me stay behind a screen. I'm on the patio. She can't even go outside. And she is on the beginning stages of dementia. I'm afraid she won't know who I am. And I've tried to go up against them. And I'm afraid if I do, they're going to give her ill treatment because I rocked the boat. They might, you know, take it out on her, which can and does happen, by the way. My brother-in-law was in a nursing home for 12 years after a massive stroke, well, off and on when needed. And, when you're not there, the care is quite different than when you're there. So here's what happened, Richard. So why doesn't the daughter take the mother out of that nursing home? She said, well, I can't take her home because I work. Well, I have a person who just resigned their job at the nursing home. How about if she comes as a live-in your spare bedroom, she'll take care of your mom, 100% attention and focus on your mom in the comfort of your own home. She'll cook the meals. The person who left their nursing home job now has a place to live, has room and board, is doing what she was designed to do without the evil influences, no state regulations.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Maybe not even any money exchanged. I don't know. I'm getting chills thinking about it. This is what I see for our country. You do not need to suffer. There's always another way. And I want to be the matchmaker.
Yeah,
I want to have a healthy American network of medical professionals that can say, I'm the dentist, I'm the doctor, I'm the chiropractor. You know, and again, this is not going to be public knowledge for the naysayers to come turn them in to get their license revoked. This is going to be a private, you know, some of this will be private so that only those who are currently, again, others will see how wonderful our new communities are. They're welcome to join in. And then we will also have, we'll have the legal team, we'll have the homeschooling team, we'll have the emotional support team. And you know what I would like to see, Richard? I would like to see, this is just because I had a bad experience at the airlines. I would like to see the Healthy American Airlines.
Yeah.
They're private jets that are sitting vacant that fly in and out of the private hangars, the private airport, so you don't go through TSA. You don't have to wear a mask. We will, and it's not like I'm going to run an airlines, but these would be identified as people who could charter the jets, who knows, maybe there are those in the airline business that want to come alongside. We have to find another way. I'm not going to sue Southwest. I don't care about ever flying on Delta again. I don't plan on it. I don't plan on it. We can have cargo planes in this fleet.
Yeah.
Cargo planes that are going from here to Korea. You hop on board, you're good to go. And a lot of times these seats are empty. So this is my vision. I'm moving quickly on a couple of the fronts, the homeschool and the legal team and the emotional support. It's actually not that difficult. It's identifying professionals like you that raise their hand and say, I'm on board. I want to help. Let me be involved. And now we'll have a mechanism to do so. So I'm all about solutions. I do like to complain sometimes, but I'm about solutions.
No, I think it's great. The combination that you've got is the vision and the organizing ability. Because what most people run into as a brick wall in this kind of thing is that they can see how to do it if they were, you know, just doing it one-on-one with a few people and how that would work. But a big organization, to not have it become corrupt and have it have the spirit of the small one, but cover everybody, that's an unusual ability. And it's not just the mechanism of the ability, it's the vision that leads to that. And I think that, you know, you're obviously having that. So what you might want to do, you know, this is really exciting. I think this is the only time since Lost Arts Radio Live started that we've ever gone beyond the time that we have. And the only thing that I'll run into is in 11 minutes, I have to run the private group that we do.
Okay, great.
But if you want to come back, you know, what we could do next week at the same time, if you feel like it, is start talking about the mechanics of the big organizing vision that is needed to put this all together quickly, that you're already in the middle of.
I love it, Richard. All hands on deck. The individuals that have the skills. Yeah, I'm sort of, you know, planting the banner in the sand here. You know, come on over here, fresh eggs over here.
You're going to need organizers under
you. That's right.
That are actually pretty high level organizers, but they're not going. You're going to be overseeing it, because whoever has the vision should stay in a position of overseeing and have everybody else in position to make it work. So, and when you start talking about airlines and stuff, you're basically, you might as well accept it. You're looking at every important aspect of life and transitioning to a new model.
That's right. We're going to have the medical different, as I mentioned. I just don't see working. I don't see redeeming the current system. I just don't see it from what I've.
Right. So you have to think about the economics of it too, because somehow, see, the thing about money that people denigrate because there's corruption connected with it, usually not because of the money, but because of the motives of the people handling it. The reason that money is actually good is it's a built-in kind of a system of motivation to do things and to innovate and to work hard and to do all that stuff. And the vision that the horrible communism offers that you mentioned is you don't have to work. That was always a fake thing. And the government's just been hiding the fact that they could give everybody fake money and have utopia. And if you're not sophisticated, you can fall for that. So you're trying to set up a system that's going to have to also deal with a real system of economics in a good form.
Absolutely.
That's going to offer the motivation at every level to do good things.
Oh, I'm very thrilled about it. We currently have regional directors for the groups. And now we're looking to fill those. So I would love to talk to you about this. We're looking to fill the state directors and then county, you know, assistant leads or what have you. And some of those will, some will logically, you know, we'll see those that are raising their hands and ready to dive in. There may be a few spots that, you know, will take time to fill in as we get going. But this is the one thing, Richard, that I've gotten, the question I've gotten, aside from how do I shop without a mask, the other question I've got is, who do you know in my area? Who can you connect me with?
Sure.
And because of the human spirit, which is what I call the healthy American, it's the flame of freedom. It's the spirit of freedom. You don't need to be an un-American. You can be Canadian or Mexican or anything, but it's the human spirit of freedom and liberty and light and life and creativity and creation that we share. And so I'm excited because what happens in the small county in Kansas is going to look totally different than Utah. And that's going to look totally different than Vermont. And it should. And I'm not I'm really not overseeing any of those. I'm the matchmaker at this stage.
Right. You're setting them in motion. But, and I hope your Skype is not going to disappear here. Peggy's
Skype.
It makes
sense to me moving forward.
Okay. There you go.
Are we freezing a little bit here?
Yeah, just for a minute. But if you're doing this county by county, each county could be protected by the constitutional sheriff of that county as well, protecting all the activities that are getting started. And that could develop at the end. And I think the thing to remember that in a free country, which the U.S. theoretically was set up to become or to be, you don't lose your rights no matter what. If there really is a deadly pandemic, the country doesn't respond by taking your rights away. It's just the opposite. It asks people to be creative and to let everybody know about the best natural preventives and remedies and protections and, you know, make sure everybody is protecting each other. You would never disarm people and take away their rights to assemble or restrict their free speech at all. You would never do anything like that. So it's just bringing back what was already put on paper that America was supposed to be as an example to everybody else, not better than other countries, but saying, look, every country should become a fantastic and great place to live because it's run on the same basis of freedom. And I'm sure that your organization has to take in, you know, people anywhere. You know, if they don't have counties in another country, they've got something.
Absolutely.
They've got creative people that can figure out how to translate what you're showing as an example into their country. And there's some things to talk about.
I love it.
Maybe during the week you can think about whether you want to continue next week at the same time. See if it's possible.
Thank you, Richard. Yeah, I'll take a look at the calendar. I would love that. We need to continue to do our brainstorming as well because these are good points. And I love the idea of the county sheriff being on board. And because we do need to speak, one of the most important aspects is security.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about health safety. I'm talking about, you know, property and person.
And that movement has already started with CSPOA.
Yes,
so we just
fantastic.
Need a little bit of cooperation.
Yes. Yeah, that's just excellent. I was tied in with that too. Thank you, Richard.
I hate to stop talking, but we better go.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of the session. I'm going to sign off now. Take care.
Talk to you soon.
See you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay. I'm assuming that we're still live and everybody can hear, and we've got only a couple minutes till the private club meeting. I've never gone over this far before, but I think what Peggy is doing, see what you think, but my sense about it is it's incredibly important, and you guys need to take the video archive of this live show, and we don't have much reach because nobody knows about us yet, and we get shadow banned everywhere. So share it. It should get everywhere in the world, okay? That's your assignment, the recording of this particular show with Peggy Hall. And if you want to help us and keep us on the air, donate. We're not doing commercials. We're not interrupting the flow of the conversation with that, not taking breaks. Go to lostartsradio.com and donate. Join Planetary Healing Club if you want to be in our deeper level movement to work on self-education and consciousness tools and inner level growth and things like that. planetaryhealingclub.com or lostartsresearchinstitute.org. There's a donate button there. That's our nonprofit. I'm talking really fast now because we got to go. And subscribestar.com/loststartsradio. I don't know if you agree. I think this is like really important stuff. And Peggy should be known everywhere. And she's got a great vision and organizing ability that needs to be appreciated. So take the recording and spread it everywhere. If you have any feedback or questions or comments or anything like that, richard@loststartsradio.com, and I'll read all of them and respond as possible. I really appreciate all of you guys. Take care of yourselves. Don't be discouraged by anything, no matter what. if things get harder, that means you take better care of yourself, not worse. You know, the programming is, if things are really bad, well, of course, just, you know, you shouldn't even be here. Just destroy yourself to be patriotic and save the world. It's the opposite of common sense. You take better care of yourself emotionally, spiritually, physically, mentally, if things are harder, and they're hard right now. And we don't want to see them get much harder if we can avoid it. So you're the key to that. You're really the star of the whole movie. It's not anybody else. It's just you. So self-assessment time. What's the potential that you've got dormant? Wake it up. That's how you get to other people, is get to yourself first. And thanks for being here. Thanks for the patience in us running over time. And we'll see you next time.
Introducing Lost Arts Radio on Subscribestar.com. Just go to Subscribestar.com/Lost Arts Radio to find our rewards program, offering 10 different giving levels starting at just $5 a month. We offer incredible value for any rewards level, from extra monthly interview videos not available publicly to subscription-based Planetary Healing Club videos once, twice, or three times a month, to private counseling sessions with Lost Arts Radio host Richard Sachs, to tech help with me, Doug Diamond. We even have one option where you can be the star on Lost Arts Radio as our guest on a specially produced show just for you. We conduct an interview with you and broadcast it to our growing network and listenership. Our Subscribe Star levels are one of a kind and offer great rewards for any budget. Please help support Lost Arts Radio. We can't do it without you. With increasing censorship on many of our channels, we really need your support today to keep doing what we're doing. As Richard says, we're not even at survival level yet. Lost Arts Radio has 3 weekly shows. Lost Arts Radio Live each Saturday night at 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific, which is a live stream currently on multiple platforms in case we get banned from some of the larger ones. Right now, we're on 2 YouTube channels, Facebook Live, Periscope, which is Twitter, Twitch, and DLive. You can access these broadcasts by going to www.lostartsradio.com/live for all the links to those channels. The Planetary Healing Club meets right after Lost Arts Radio Live at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Saturday nights. And our Sunday show with guests airs at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Sunday nights on our Blog Talk Radio channel, our YouTube channels, Facebook pages, and on Brighteon. Be sure to sign up for our free email list just in case we do get banned on big tech's platforms. It's just a matter of time, really. They don't like the stuff we talk about, and they do not want the truth out there. In fact, they have already attacked us numerous times. Join our free email list so we can let you know where we are and how to access our shows. The sign-up button is right on the top right on most pages of our website. The best starting point for all things Lost Arts Radio is our main site, lostartsradio.com, where you can find the hottest news selection videos that we curate just for you. Those are on the homepage and added to daily, as well as articles and breaking news about information you really need to know. Our show archives, the 10 most recent shows, are right on our homepage, as well as our Blog Talk Radio page at blogtalkradio.com/lostartsradio, or just click the All Things Radio Show tab right on our website. We're in the podcast directory on iTunes, and all of our shows except the banned ones are on our YouTube channels at Lost Arts Radio and at Diamond Disc. Our Brighteon page is really taking off, and we often have editors' picks videos right on their homepage. Visit Brighteon.com/channel/Lost Arts Radio. On our site, you can also access our free listener forum as well as sign up for the Planetary Healing Club, which is just $25 a month, where you get private access to a one-on-one interaction with host Richard Sachs and myself and the other club members who participate live. More info can be found at PlanetaryHealingClub.com. We're providing solutions in there to make the world a better place. Come join us. Thanks again for listening to and supporting Lost Arts Radio. We love having you as part of our family to learn, experience, and grow with.